Well, good morning and welcome to Education Matters. My special guest today is Dr. Diana Wood, Instructional Supervisor for Putnam County Schools. Diana, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here,
well,
Dr. Bell.
We are delighted to have you back, and we're talking about important stuff today. So this is going to be a really interesting program. Some folks may not know you, so tell everybody a little bit about your background.
Okay. I started my teaching career in Memphis, and then I moved down I-40 and taught in Nashville before moving back to Cookeville. I am a Tennessee Tech graduate, and so in 1999, my husband and I moved to Cookeville, and I took a few years off and had three kids, and then I joined Putnam County Schools in 2007 as a teacher and spent some time teaching at Capshaw, and then I became their assistant principal, and then when Dr. Kim Wright retired, I became their principal. Then 2 years ago, so this is my second year as elementary instructional supervisor, I moved into the role as instructional supervisor. And so now I get to support all 11 elementary schools in Putnam County, which is just a joy for me to get to be a part of those school communities and see those learning environments. So that's what I do now, support instruction in Putnam County elementary schools.
Well, it's got to be an exciting job. And I know right now, pretty much what we're going to talk about today, it's turning into especially exciting times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very public right now as we talk about the third grade retention law. And so that's been in the news quite a bit and on the minds and hearts of families, especially those parents of third graders. So that's a big hot topic right now, and we actually are in the midst of starting our third grade retake this week, and so that's just an opportunity for students who scored below or approaching expectations to have a chance to try again on a shorter test.
Good, good. Well, and hopefully that'll go well for them. We're going to talk in more detail about that, but typically this time of year, we're just talking in general about summer school. So tell us about summer school this coming year.
Sure. So we have our summer school planned. We start June 5th and we'll run through June 29th. Right now we have about 975 students enrolled in a summer learning camp is what we call it. We have five sites. So we'll have a site for middle schoolers at Prescott Middle School. And then we have a site at Burks Elementary in Monterey, which will be for rising kindergartners through rising eighth graders. And then we'll have a site for elementary at Cane Creek, at Jerry Whitson, and then at Cornerstone in Baxter. So we have quite a program planned. We are planning to do reading, math, STREAM, which are kind of like STEM activities. We'll have some PE. We have breakfast, lunch, and snacks. So we have intervention. So we have lots of academics planned, but then we have some fun things like the Wow Bus and snow cones and things like that. So we're getting ready to kick off a good summer of learning.
That's great. That's great. And the Wow Bus is that's a reading bus in effect. It's got a library on it, right?
It sure does. It stands for Words on Wheels, and so it's a rolling library. And Dr. Mark Rogers is our kind of director of the Wow Bus, and he drives the bus and brings it to our summer learning campsites and other sites in our community. And students can come and pick out books and take them home with them.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, it's going to be a fast paced summer. No question. And you mentioned the topic that's been on everyone's minds, at least the parents in the third grade, more than anyone else probably, but a lot of people have been talking about it. Our legislature passed a new state law that sort of ratchets up the effect on third grade retention. So talk a bit about the new legislation and what it requires for folks who have just finished third grade.
Sure. So there's been a third grade retention law in Tennessee for several years. Maybe 2011-12, it went into effect. But until this year, until 2023, the decision making was at the local level. So the districts and schools could make decisions using not only TN Ready data, but also Universal Screener, classroom data. Just look at the whole child and see if he or she would be a candidate for retention. So in this new Literacy Success Act that has gone into effect for this year, the decision making is more is focused on the TN Ready score, and so the local, you know, district and school does not have the decision to override that. There are some exemptions. So if you have a disability that impacts your reading or a suspected disability, you would be exempt from this law. If you've been previously retained, if you're in your first 2 years of ELL, some things like that, then you have an opportunity to be exempt. But otherwise, you know, you're expected to meet or exceed expectations on TN Ready, on TCAP. And so there are some provisions for there's a provision for retake, which I had said we're going through right now. So we've received a list of students that who are eligible for the retake, meaning that they did not meet or exceed expectations. And so we're in the process of notifying families and getting ready for that retake. And so then we'll see the outcome of that. And then we'll see who needs to go to summer learning camp. So that's another provision of the third grade retention law. It's not a complete retention, but if students are below expectations, they will need to go to summer learning camp and be tutored in fourth grade. And if they're approaching expectations, they have a choice between those two. They can either go to summer learning camp or agree to be tutored in fourth grade.
And we're going to talk more about the tutoring, but they go ahead into fourth grade, mm-hmm. and then tutoring takes place sort of in addition to what they're normally doing.
That's right. That's right. It's free. It's generally during the school day is what it's meant to be. We may have, depending on what it looks like in fourth grade, we may have to add some groups before or after school. But generally, it's during the school day. It's low ratio, so it's a one tutor for three students, and it's just meant to give them some extra support in reading to catch them up to grade level.
And it's really important. I know this is a tough stance. At the same time, it's important for that child to get this foundation before they start going mm-hmm. on, especially before they start hitting those middle school years. So if that foundation in there, it's like a house. Mm-hmm. The foundation doesn't stand up, or the house doesn't stand up, right, if that foundation isn't strong.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It is very, very important. And, you know, at Putnam County Schools, we don't dispute that. We want all of our students to be reading on grade level. You know, there is some controversy on whether we think this is exactly the move, because generally we take a lot of factors into account when we're thinking about if a child is a candidate for retention. So to just have this one, you know, one test, or maybe even just one test and a retake test to determine whether they're going to be retained or not, you know, is it's up in the air whether that's the best approach, but of course that's law, and we're you know, ready to, you know, do what we need to do to make sure we adhere to the law.
And they'll probably amend that law in a year or two after they've gotten some experience mm-hmm. with it. But for right now, that's the choice. That's what has to happen.
Yes, it is. It is exactly the choice for 2023. I think there is some modifications already in the works for maybe to look at the universal screener next year as a third data point or an extra data point. But as of this year, this is what we have to adhere to.
And you mentioned 10 Ready scores. People have heard about 10 Ready and TCAPs. So these end-of-year scores are basically done nationwide. They're a little different in some places, but they're designed to see where that child stands relative to where the national standard says they should be in third grade. Is that right? Or in ninth
yeah.
grade, whatever.
Yeah, that's
grade
correct.
It is.
Absolutely. That's correct. To see if they are accessing content and understanding content on their grade level. Sure.
And so again, mm-hmm. it's intended to give them a solid base for whatever they're doing next, but it all of these end of year scoring paradigms are have a bit of a challenge to them also.
For sure. Absolutely.
But it again, it's not something Putnam County is doing any more than any other county. Putnam County in Florida is doing the same mm-hmm. thing. And, mm-hmm. So it's a nationwide thing. Well, let's go back, and I love the concept of the summer learning camp. You're trying to make it a bit more like a camp than what I remember from summer schools back. I attended some summer schools in college, but that's my memories of them, is just intensive classes. But these are really intended to be a little bit of fun in addition to some really good work, too.
Yes, that's correct. And we do. We have high quality. We have certified teachers. We have high quality instructional materials that we're using. So we are very intentional on what students are going to be getting to support their learning. But we do also want, no, it's summer. And so, you know, there'll be some fun as well.
And they get two square meals and some snacks. And from a parent's side, it does give them a solid way to spend the day rather than just perhaps being home alone.
Absolutely. And they're growing and learning and stimulated and engaged with peers. And so, yeah, it's a good way, I think, for students to get some extra help, but then also have an engaging summer.
And what percent on a normal time, and I know I'm not asking for an exact percent, but roughly what percent of the students attend a summer learning camp? Would it be 10% or would it be 50% of our students?
Ooh, I would say closer on the 10% side, yeah, you know, for that grade level.
So still a lot going on for a lot of other students. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about what tutoring involves and why reading is so important as part of the ELL and the ELI events. So we'll come right back and talk about tutoring.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Well, Dr. Wood, we've been talking about summer learning camps, but the other option is this fall going on into fourth grade and doing some extra tutoring while there. Not everyone will qualify for that, so talk about who gets the choice and then what that tutoring would involve.
Sure. So, like I said before, if a student is below expectation, then they will need to come to summer learning camp and be tutored. So they'll definitely be candidates for tutoring. And then if a student was approaching expectations, they could do either summer learning camp or tutoring. So depending on what they choose, we'll have those students being tutored as well. We also have a Tennessee All-Core tutoring program in existence now. So those students will continue to get to receive tutoring. But basically what we'll do is we'll look at a child's data and see where their skill deficits are, see what they need to close the gaps to get them to grade level. And so no matter if they're below, approaching, or in our current Tennessee All-Core tutoring program, we'll be looking at their data, see what they need, and then spending the tutoring time on those skills and closing, you know, working on those deficits to close the gaps.
And who are the teachers or the tutors who will be helping that student?
So for the most part, we have used we use pre-service teachers, so Tennessee Tech students who are working on their education degree, working on their teaching degree. We've employed them. We have some educational assistants. We would like to use some retired teachers and see if any of them are interested in tutoring. So just a variety of people. In some cases, our teachers that are employed may be tutoring if they have a group in their class during their intervention time, and they are able to work out that 1-to-3 ratio from time to time. They may be tutoring as well. It's probably going to be all hands on deck and, you know, making sure that the job gets done. So we're not 100% sure what that's going to look like in each building, but we do know it'll be offered, and we know it'll be exactly what the student needs, and hopefully we'll see gains from that.
Well, I know we will see gains from it. It's there to help that student jump forward, and that'll be a good outcome. And I think that tutoring program probably will work well. So it's important that it does work. Let's talk about reading and how important it is. We're at a level, but we could be talking about a preschooler or a first or second grader here just as much. But reading's really important by this time, isn't it?
Sure.
Talk about the impact on later education as the child progresses up into middle school if they don't have that fundamental background.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and it's kind of cliche to say reading is fundamental, but it really, really, really is foundational in everything else that you'll learn for the rest of your life, or any kind of information you can consume if you're a reader. And so the ability to understand content will affect every subject level beyond reading. You know, the ability to understand and show what you know in math is impacted by reading, and then every other subject level, you know, subject area, you know, science, social studies, any kind of history, foreign language, all of those things are impacted on your ability to read on grade level. And then as you move on, your ability to access post-secondary opportunities, college and career, just your ability to do your job as a worker is impacted by reading. And of course, those of us who can read realize that. We realize how foundational it is and fundamental. And so we want that opportunity for all kids in Putnam County and in Tennessee, really.
And if a student struggles with it, they can probably still read the content, but it takes twice as long. They don't quite get the message the way other students do. And boy, does that hurt them as they get into high school and into even up into middle school.
Yeah, it sure does, because they really need – it's one thing to be able to decode words and be able to, you know, read them, but you really need that automaticity in reading to be able to understand what you read. Because if a child or a student is spending so much time decoding, they completely lose the ability to comprehend what they've read. And so we really, really, really want to work on the fluency and automaticity of reading so that the comprehension then will come.
And you mentioned much earlier, you mentioned STEAM or STEM or STREAM. There are a bunch of varieties of things that started as science, technology, engineering, and math, and now includes reading and includes other arts kinds of thing. But all of those scientific-based things, reading's fundamental to them. I mean, you cannot go into those programs with a reading deficit and do as well as others.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, you have to be able to make your plan when you're doing a STEM project or, you know, anything like that. You have to be literate, and reading and writing go hand in hand. And so absolutely any field you would go into.
I remember my eyes opening, and I was a sophomore in college at the time, but I was working at Kennedy Space Center, and I was looking at some STEM-related things back in the Gemini and Apollo programs, but it was about missile launches, but it was a 90-page report. It was a thick document that someone had written or some team had written, but everybody had to read and understand. So even though it's science, it was really fundamental reading that was a big part of
Yeah.
Doing that.
It just, reading just weaves into everything, you know, into all areas, in the workplace and in leisure too, and in pleasure, you know, to be able to read it. So, it's crucial for students.
So how can parents help best? I guess one thing is their attitude towards this third grade retention can make a big difference in how that child comes into this experience. But how do they help with reading also? So talk about both of those.
Sure. Well, the first part, when you talk about their attitude toward this experience, you know, it breaks my heart to think about a child being anxious about how they performed on that, because I feel like at the age that third graders are, they should just be doing their very best and moving on and going outside and playing. And so the fact that it's brought anxiety to our homes is unfortunate. But I do think parents can make or break that experience for kids. And so as long as they're positive and they're praising, you know, their child for how much they've seen them learn already this year, that's what we've encouraged parents to do, is to be positive, praise their child, and then, you know, just be involved in their school. That's one way they can help, is just let them know that school is a priority in your household, and you're interested in what they're learning at school. Have those conversations at the dinner table. You know, let them see you reading some, and you read to your child, just that reading aloud, even at the third grade age and beyond. You know, children really enjoy that. And the bond that you get when you're reading to your kids, and the conversations you would have from those stories, are just priceless, not only in how their reading is developing, but just in their social, emotional, and your connections with them. So that's one way. And I think just also for the summer coming up, enroll them in the library, the Putnam County Library reading programs. Make sure they have some books to read. Go visit the WOW Bus. Go to yard sales and find books. You know, there are inexpensive ways to have some good reading material, and just let that be a part of your home. And that, you know, that's the normal day in and day out, and the fun in your home.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about the WOW Bus after this quick break. Well, Dr. Wood, we've talked about reading scores. We've talked about the summer learning camps. But learning loss is something that we saw during the pandemic nationwide. It wasn't unique to Putnam County. It's just sort of a natural effect of having students away from the classroom. Mm-hmm. Talk about that and about what your data is showing now. How are we doing on learning loss?
Sure. Well, we found that learning loss is definitely a real thing. We did see a decline in our test scores in the years after, you know, just after 2020, for sure. And it was felt in different age groups more than others, you know, depending on if they had their foundational skills solidified. So maybe, you know, older kids, it may have just been a dip, and then they have come back. But what we've noticed, just in getting some preliminary scores from our third grade ELA, because that's what we have recently gotten, we are noticing that we had a certain level pre-pandemic, and we dipped. And so now these third grade, here we have our 2023 scores back. We have exceeded our pre-pandemic levels. But so we feel like that we're on the right track, and we're in a good place. And what we want to see is just our achievement increasing every year, because if we can inch up, and that means more students every year are reading on grade level, and that's what we're seeing at this time. So we're very pleased with that. We're thankful for, you know, the hard work of our teachers. They have taught a curriculum that has created equity across our district, across schools. And so it's a knowledge building curriculum, but also explicit systematic instruction on foundational skills. So it kind of couples those two together. And so it's different than it used to be 10 years ago, that we're all teaching the same curriculum, but we're seeing gains in that, and just we're so appreciative of the teachers, of how the teachers have dug into the curriculum, are doing what's best for kids.
And we do have a diverse set of schools, a diverse student population in those schools. So Monterey is not exactly like Jerry Whitson or like Allgood. Baxter is different. So teachers are able to personalize it to that student body.
Sure. And the idea is that, just like you mentioned, from across our district, students come to school with different experiences. So what this curriculum does is it kind of levels the playing field for all kids. So all kids have learned now about ancient Greece or the Middle Ages or the War of 1812. And so they all have that in common, and they can talk about that. It doesn't matter if their family goes on vacation three times a year, or if they have never been on a vacation, or if they've never been out of Putnam County, or they go to Europe every year. It levels that playing field, and they all are privy to that information. And so that is one thing that we're driving toward in Putnam County, is creating that equity no matter what school you go to.
Well, that's a great objective, a good time to have that kind of objective in front of us. And coming out of the pandemic, hopefully, we'll get back to where we're talking about growth and even stronger schools than we've got.
Yes.
Than we had during those tough times. Well, you're getting the data back. Certainly, you've gotten the data back on reading and third grade level data. But generally, what happens to that data over the summer? You get it every year. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with it?
So we will spend the summer looking at that data, looking at trends, looking at areas that we need to address, looking at areas to celebrate, and that we could maybe replicate some practices in those areas. And so we will spend some time this summer. The principals usually dig in immediately into their data and are really looking deeply at students and teachers and what we can do next to make sure that we're building on that and increasing that data, making sure that we're increasing achievement for students. Then about the time school starts, the parents usually will get their parent report. And so they will find out how their own student did. And so, as they get that, if they have questions, they're welcome to talk to their school, their teacher, and if they need help understanding it.
And so that gives the parent and the teacher some common knowledge about where that student stands relative to, again, to a target that's there across the nation and in the state. And the teacher can personalize that, can actually say, this is something we need to work on with your student?
Sure, yes. They can look as they get their new class, they can look at their new class's data and identify areas where they need to strengthen and they need to work on as they continue to teach that grade level's content. So absolutely, they can use that data. We'll also use that data when we're doing our tutoring and, take that into account. And then as schools have data team meetings, which they have about once a month, that'll be a part of their conversation, as well as new data that they start to get about that child, so they'll just use it all.
And when the principal meets with his or her cohort of teachers for the coming year, they share sort of on a mega level, they share more of, this is what the school looks like on this, and here's an area we could probably emphasize more this year.
Yes, absolutely. And then if they see an area that just increased dramatically, that's the group of teachers you want to talk to about what did you do last year, and you might want to let those practices spread within your school. And then absolutely, if you see areas where certain standards were not mastered, think about that. That's the conversations they will have around, what did we do to support that standard? What do we need to do differently next year to make sure that our students master it even more, or more students master it. Sure.
Well, it's a national fact of life that we're going to be data driven, and that's why the teacher candidates at Tech are studying statistics more than they would like to, because teachers have to understand what these statistics show for their classes and for the school. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some other end of year activities, things that happen over the summer. We have been blessed this year in Putnam County, not having a tornado, not having a major fire in a school, certainly not having shooter kind of incidents, but we've seen them in the state of Tennessee. So we've been lucky this year. But how does the school system prepare for a safe school year coming up.
Sure. That's definitely something that's always on our minds in Putnam County, and I'm sure in most school systems. You know, one of the things that in Putnam County our schools have, every school has a CERT team, so it's a school emergency response team. And so they have drills throughout the year. They have meetings throughout the year where they talk about different areas as they do drills, maybe areas that they feel like they need to address, just making sure that in any type of emergency, whether it's a weather emergency, whether it's a intruder emergency, we even had remote learning drill this year. So it's just in many areas, we just make sure that we're prepared. And of course, you never want that to happen, but you want to be as prepared as possible. Of course, all of our schools have an SRO, and the SRO is part of that CERT team at the school level. And so we're constantly revisiting our protocols, our procedures. You know, we'll often go to the EMS center and have roundtable discussions and do case study scenarios on what if this happened, what do we do next. So we're constantly revisiting that, and just we always wanted to keep it at the forefront because, you know, we are here for instructional purposes. That's our job. But if our kids aren't safe, then all of that is for naught, because that's the most important thing, is to keep our kids safe and have them in a safe learning environment.
And that EMS planning that you go through involves the police, and it involves the hospital and the ambulance service. Mm-hmm. It really is a comprehensive reaction team.
It is. And we have I talked about the school teams. We also have a district team that supports that. And so schools know that they have that district team to go to as well. And the district team is very involved in those roundtable discussions and driving the discussion at the school level as well.
And luckily, in a couple of emergencies across the state this year, we've seen very rapid response. And that's that's part of what all that planning and discussion is all about, is how we get everybody there and how we get them responding quickly.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I personally assistant principal, we had a situation where we had an intruder, and I thought, wow, our panic button is gone so quickly. Well, they also, not only are they, will respond when we're calling, they are, they're responsive to what's going on in the community and if a school would be at risk. And so actually in this instance, the police came before the panic, but before the call came, because they knew something was going on in the community and they came to us. And so not only are our schools really trying, I feel like our law enforcement with the Sheriff's Department and the Cookeville City Police, they are very, very attuned to our schools and keeping them safe. So it's just a great partnership.
Well, we're about to wrap up, but I've got one last question for you, and it's a favorite question. You go back to your teaching time, your principal time. What was your favorite experience, or one of your favorite experiences?
Yeah. Oh, I have so many. So many, especially. And they all involve kids and the teachers that I work with. But I would say just any time that I have a chance to read to kids and just get their perspective on things, I enjoy that. And that's actually one of the things I really miss, being at this at the district level and working in the central office, is that daily interaction. But just their excitement over every little thing, whether it's a loose tooth or new pair of shoes that light up, just the kids' enthusiasm is a favorite for me.
Yeah, that would be hard to replace when you're looking at data.
Sure.
Well, you're doing a great job, and you certainly are performing a vital service to our children in Putnam County. And I thank you for all you've done and are doing. And thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you so much.